Hello, Grace Community Church. This is Nathan with our second installment of the Heidelberg Catechism podcast. And today we're gonna jump right into question number one. Not sure if you caught what I said on the last podcast, but this first question that we're gonna look at is noted by some to be the best man-made paragraph of all time. I guess another way to say that is besides the Bible, this paragraph has the potential to absolutely change your life, and I hope we can look at it closely, at this question closely, to see the comfort and joy and hope and what others have received from it for the last 457 years. I forgot to mention on the last podcast where you can find this catechism. You can see a link in the podcast email or on the church's website, and that link could take you right to the catechism in a PDF form. And you can see it there. All right, question number one. What is your only comfort in life and in death? What is your only comfort in life and in death? Answer, that I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood, and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation, because I belong to Him. Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. And so I know if you're listening to this and you don't have the catechism in front of you, that it can be sort of hard to follow along. So let me read that one more time. Question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all my sins with His precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation, because I belong to Him. Christ, by His Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for Him. Isn't that amazing? For almost five centuries, God's people have started out their Christian faith by listening to that very question and answer. Charles Spurgeon, in his book entitled Lecture to My Students, has a good illustration for us to start out with when we're looking at comfort in life and comfort in death. He says this, Mr. Rogers, when he lay a-dying, would put his money in his mouth because he loved it so, and also wanted to take some of it with him. How striking is the non-utility of worldly wealth as a comfort for us in our last days. Brought before us by the narrative in which good Jeremiah Burroughs speaks of a miser who had his money bags laid near him on his dying bed. He kept taking them up and saying, must I leave you, must I leave you? Have I lived all these years for you, and now must I leave you? And so he died. There is great pain of a disturbed conscience. He also had his money bags brought on with one of his mortgages and bonds and deeds, and putting them near his heart, he sighed and said, these won't do, these won't do, these won't do, take them away. What poor things they all are when I most need comfort in my dying moments. How distinctly love to Christ is brought out in the story of John Lambert. He was fastened to a stake and burning to death, yet clapping his hands as he was burning and crying out, none but Christ, none but Christ, none but Christ, until his nether extremities were burned and he fell from his chains into the fire, still exclaiming in the midst of the flames, none but Christ, none but Christ. End quote. Those are two very different views of death. And it's all based around what we'll see today in this very question and answer, and that is comfort. So why start here? What I mean is, why start with me? Why start with you? Why start with our comfort in the very first question of this catechism? Because some people argue, what's the best What's the best question of all the best catechisms? Well, most people select either this question number one or question number one of the Westminster Confession. Those that say that Westminster is the best is they argue the fact that it starts with God's glory. You remember how it goes. It goes, what is the chief end of man? Answer, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. So some would say, see, that's a better question because it starts out with God and not with your comfort. But others would respond back and say the Heidelberg starts out with what Christ has done for us and what we could not do for ourselves. And the Westminster starts out with what man can do or must do or rather do. But either way, both questions and answers are fantastic because the Heidelberg starts with grace and the Westminster starts with glory. Grace and glory. That's the theme of Scripture. So why start here again? Because death is common to all, and to find comfort in this life, which is what everyone wants, you must know how to face death. This is a very personal and practical question. I like it. It says your comfort, not our comfort or us or them, but it says you. What is my comfort? Stop and think about you. What is your only comfort in this life? Where is your only comfort in death that surely awaits you? Each day, you know this, that you get closer to your death than you were the day before. And having comfort to face life and having comfort to face death is essential to living this life with joy, to living this life with peace. Comfort of knowing that Christ crushed the power of death, that is comforting. That is freeing. Now, we won't get too far today in this first question, so let's just look at the word comfort. And because if you don't get this word, the rest of the question will not really make much sense. So this first question centers around comfort. So what is comfort? Well, Google defines comfort this way: a state of physical ease and freedom from pain or constraint. Another way that Google says is the easing of alleviation of a person's feelings of grief or distress. The New Testament use of the word comfort is consoling. It consoles the one by dispelling grief. And by dispelling that grief, it also brings with it imparting strength. So the comfort in this question, in our context, means that our assurance, our confidence is in the finished work of Christ. Our grief, our existence in this sinful, fallen world is dispelled by the strength found in the gospel, found in Christ. And as you well know, there are, of course, many different comforts out there. We find comfort in our money or in food, you name it. Someone has found comfort in it. But this comfort is a comfort that, as the question asks, what is your only comfort in life and in death? Where do you find your security in this life and in the hour of death? If the answer is anything other than Christ, there won't be any comfort. Because we need a comfort consisting of forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with God through His Son. We need the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, to impress upon our hearts that we are the property of Christ and we are so loved by God. The Christian's only comfort in life and death is that you are not your own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to your faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. You belong. You are owned by Him now. This is our only comfort because Christ will never fail us in life or in death, because as Paul tells us in Romans, that whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Nothing. Why? We are His, and He can't fail. The story I started out with about the dying with money in our hands or money in our mouth versus declaring Christ as we basically fall from the stakes that we've burned and we fell in the fire and we're still burning, showing those two explains why this comfort alone is the only solid comfort in life or in death. Because the one you put your comfort in lived the perfect life and defeated death, and that is Christ. Think about this. The comfort is a necessity for the Christian. Because how could God be receiving all the glory from you if you try to find comfort in something other than the finished work of Jesus? Another reason Jesus must be your only comfort is the fact that we are not our own. And as we'll see in the next few podcasts, is that we do not even have rights over ourselves anymore. We have died, and now Christ lives in us. And with that, by belonging both body and soul to Him, it is a necessity that we would only find our comfort in the one who purchased that comfort with His very own blood. And so with that, this first part of the first question is saying, you are meant to live and die in the joy of this comfort. Because we know that comfort does not mean Christ makes all the bad things, bad evil things in this life just go away now that we're Christians. If anything, it's the other way around. And that's for most of the history of the church. And right now in our current pandemic, and I say current pandemic because as it's been said, there's been many that's gone before this. But anyways, in our current struggle, we must put before us our greater joy, and that is Jesus. And that comfort will outweigh the present or even anticipated sufferings. Because God is the author of comfort, Christ is our comfort, and the Holy Spirit is our comforter. So, we didn't get too far today, but hopefully we understand what comfort means. And then, Lord willing, next time we talk, we can look into the word only. We don't want that word to pass us by when reading this first question of the Heidelberg Catechism. So thanks again for listening. Let's end with this passage from Philippians 1, 19 through 21. God's word says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain."